Thank you and good morning and welcome once again to the radio program from the Independence Baptist Church of Forestdale, Missouri. We're glad you're listening this morning and it is our prayer that you would receive a blessing from hearing a portion of the Word of God today. We want to take this opportunity to invite you to the church services at Independence Baptist Church. We meet at 124 South Main in Forestdale, Missouri, and our Sunday school begins this morning at 10 o'clock. We have classes for all ages, and you're welcome to come, bring your families and your Bible, and study the Word of God with us. At 11 o'clock this morning, we have our regular preaching service, and then at 4 o'clock tonight, we meet again to worship the Lord. And then 7 o'clock on Wednesday is our midweek Bible study. And so you're invited to come to these services. And we know this, that if you want to come to a place where you can really worship God and find out what the Bible has to say to you, then you will not only find a warm welcome at our church, you'll also find some of the answers to your life's dilemma. Because the answers to our problems are found in the Word of God, and we try to preach and teach exactly what the Bible says. And so you're welcome to come to these services. This morning, we'd like to speak on the subject, the miracle of salvation. And sometimes people don't want to think that salvation is to be categorized as a miracle. But it really is. Salvation is something that happens, the redemption of a lost sinner and the bringing in of that lost sinner into the family of God is indeed a miracle that only Jesus can do. No man can do it at all. We'd like to take our reading from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 8, 9, and verse 10. The Bible says, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." This passage of Scripture teaches us that salvation comes when a person believes with their heart that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life, that Jesus Christ is the one who has paid the price for their eternal redemption. Now, I just read a book written by some man, and that I'll not mention his name, but he says in the book, and that if you, whatever you say with your mouth, and you claim that in Jesus' name, that it's yours. I call these kind of folks the name and claim it people. And he says, and he uses this passage I just read, and he says, all you have to do is to confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and that makes you saved. Now, that's simply not so. The Bible says in verse 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." The name and claim it people have it all backwards. They believe, you see, that if you simply name it, then you claim it in the name of Jesus that it's yours and that it goes from your mouth into your heart. But that's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that, first of all, we believe with our heart the Lord Jesus, and then we confess with our mouth that He is our Lord and Savior. But now the question remains here. The miracle of salvation is what we're talking about. How can a person believe with their heart? First of all, we need to know what the heart is. He did not say, believe with the mouth. Paul in Romans chapter 10 did not say, believe with the mind or believe with the intellect. Although a person must know that he's lost intellectually, he must know that Jesus is the Christ intellectually, And yet all of that knowledge will not save him. Salvation, you see, is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. How is it that we can believe with our heart? What is the heart? The heart is the very life of the person. The heart here is not speaking about the fleshly organ that pumps blood through our physical bodies. But he's talking about the life of a person. And so he says, for with the life, or with all of your being, with everything that is about you, not only your mind, not only your soul, your spirit, your intellect, your emotions, with everything, you believe wholeheartedly. You hold nothing back. You believe, and you are saved. This thing about people being saved and not knowing it is simply not so at all, because we're saved by the power of God. If you would, look in the book of John, chapter 1. The Bible said here in John 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And so we see here in verse 12 and verse 13 of John chapter 1 that the miracle of salvation comes about, and we have received Jesus Christ, but we have received him because of the power that he has given unto us, that we might be able to believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is not by works at all. The Bible says that we are born and born into the family of God. But we're not born of blood, not of any kind of fleshly, physical blood at all. Not by the blood of bulls and of goats. That kind of sacrifice ended 2,000 years ago. We're not saved by the will of the flesh. And somebody might say, well, I want to be saved, but I can't be saved. Well, then I tell you what you do. If you want to be saved, you just turn this over to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him save you. We're not saved by the will of our flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. He is the one that has given us this power that we might be able to believe. Well, just exactly how does all of this work? How can it possibly come to pass? And I'm talking about the miracle of salvation. It is a gift that God gives, not something that we work for, not something that we earn. I'm not saved because I walk down a church aisle. I'm not saved this morning because I have my name on a church roll. I'm not saved because I'm a preacher. I'm saved by the power of God because he wrought the miracle of salvation in my heart as a young boy. Let me read you something. In the book of Matthew, chapter 12. Matthew, chapter 12. Here in this place, Jesus Christ came upon a man. And this man had a withered hand. Now, the Pharisees, of course, were looking around at Jesus because they were pretty sure he was going to heal this fella, and it was the Sabbath day, and they was going to find something wrong with it. Well, Jesus looked around at them, and he said to them, "How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day?" And I want you to notice in Matthew 12 and verse 13 what Jesus said. Jesus then turned from speaking to the Pharisees, and he turned to the man with the withered hand. And he said to the man, "Stretch forth thine hand." I want to stop right here and just think about this. Jesus told the man to do something that he could not do. Humanly speaking, the man with the withered hand could not stretch forth his hand because it was withered. And that's the way that the Lord Jesus Christ calls us unto salvation. He calls us and says, come and believe, repent. And it is something that we cannot do. We do not have the power within us to do because we're dead in trespasses and in sins. But Jesus has the power. John chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. The Bible says there that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm saved by the power of God, not by what I have done. And so when Jesus took this man with the withered hand, and He said to him, stretch forth your hand, the man had to do something that he could not do. But I want you to read the rest of the verse. Verse 13 of Matthew 12. And He stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. There was a miracle of healing took place. Jesus commanded this man, stretch forth your withered hand, and the man, it was impossible for him to stretch forth his hand because it was withered. The man with the withered hand trusted God, and he obeyed the command of God and stretched forth his hand, and it wasn't withered anymore. Because by the healing power of God, he was able to obey the command of God. That's the way that a lost sinner is saved. Jesus says, come unto me. Jesus says, I have paid the price. Jesus said, I have come into the world to seek and to save all those that are lost. Come unto me. Jesus says, I've borne your sins on the cross of Calvary. And here is a lost person. And he's dead in trespasses and in sins. He cannot hear, he cannot think, he cannot spiritually reason to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all within him is dead in trespasses and in sins. But he obeys this command of God by the power of God. And God alone gives him that power. And he comes believing, repenting and believing, knowing that he's lost and knowing that when he's saved, it's by the power of God and not because he simply confessed something with his mouth. Not simply because he's walked down a church aisle. I tell you what, when a person is saved by the glorious grace of God, they trust Jesus Christ. They don't go back and remember and trust the time that they happened to walk down a church aisle or happened to trust in something that they did or thought at an instant. But they're trusting Jesus Christ all by Himself because the miracle of being born again came to them. It is a precious gift that only God can give. Look with me in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 11. Here is a time when one of Jesus' close friends has passed away. The man's name is Lazarus. And you know the story. But look with me back over here in verse 41. They rolled the stone away, and Jesus lifted up His eyes, and He said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me, and I knew that Thou hearest Me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And when He had thus spoken, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. How was it that Lazarus, being dead, could be alive again? The same principle that works with Lazarus works with salvation. Lazarus heard, not with his physical ears, but Lazarus heard with those spiritual ears, and God breathed in him again, and he had life. And that's what happens when a lost person is saved. They hear with the spiritual ears, they're redeemed once again, and they know that they've been saved, and they come forth ready to serve the living and true God. We see that our time has gone away from us again today. We do trust that you've received a blessing from this radio program and trust you'll come to our services. Listen again next Sunday morning for another radio program, the Lord willing. Thank you now for listening.